Well, I wish I would have known then what I know now about health-related matters. But, hey, better late than never, isn't it? Our guest is Dr. Marvin Houseman, and we'll be back with him in a moment. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Hey, Marvin, let's get back to diabetes for a moment before we get into some other areas. What if you take also like cinnamon and bitter melon and, you know, fenugreek and other supplements like that? Does that help reduce your glucose?
Yes. There are studies out of India. Turmeric, curcumin, cinnamon are quite active as antioxidants and can also do similar things to other foods. We're studying them now in conjunction with mushrooms. We want to see if the combination of turmeric with certain mushroom powders would increase the ability to control diabetes.
And, you know, doctors will also tell you, watch what you eat. Don't eat a lot of sugary foods, breads, pastas, starches. Stay off that. Why?
Well, they have high fructose sugars in them.
Uh-huh.
And you have to look where they're made. Not all of them are bad, but you don't want the high fructose sugars like are in sodas and pop. And sometimes they put them in pastas and breads. But quality foods are different.
Well, I was going to say, like, fruits that have sugar in them, because it's natural. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right.
I say that without hesitation. I mean, sugar is part of the natural course of nature, but it's when you have the high processed fructose sugars that they're bad.
All these people that are either taking diabetes pills and drugs or injections, how many of them, realistically, percentage-wise, could get off all that if they had a better diet or ate the better nutritional foods?
Well, that's an interesting question. The problem is that once you have a disease, now you have intervention. And what I've been preaching early on is prevention. It was Hippocrates, the ancient physician in 450 BC, and all of us take a Hippocratic oath when we take our MD degree. He said, let medicine be thy food and food be thy medicine. And we've lost that ancient wisdom. I think that if we had better nutrition, we would prevent the disease and not have to use the chemicals to intervene. So when you say get people totally out of diabetes with the whole food, I think you have to start good nutrition early. But you can alleviate the disease. That means you can lower down the severity by increasing your nutrition. And it's like telling someone who has a potential of heart disease or has heart disease, you shouldn't walk. Well, you want to walk. Once you stabilize the disease, you'll prevent progression and worsening of the heart disease. So you need to exercise. And it's the same thing with nutrition.
Are some diseases a process of what we eat, environmental hazards? Case in point, back to diabetes again. If from the get-go people ate properly, would they come down with diabetes anyway?
Well, a certain percentage of people will come down with diabetes. I mean, what you have to do is hope that you're not part of it. You have other risk factors. There's probably, a family history, but it's not proven that genetics is important in diabetes. But I think you have other risk factors besides nutrition. You have environmental factors like pollution. You have hormonal problems in water when they discard drugs, into the water system. I mean, a lot of cities have bad water because people discard drugs into the system, and when they clean the water, they're not taking these out. So I don't think you're ever going to totally prevent disease. What I think you can do is there's a war every day, and you have positive and negative in your body going on. There's the pro-oxidant state and the antioxidant state. Every day cells die, and every day your body creates cells. And I think the burden is on us that we have to create an environment in which we're producing more cells than cells are dying. And I think we can do that. And I'm on a mission. I think that I'm going to live to be a long time, knock on wood.
Because you want to prove a point here, don't you?
Yes. Well, it's a personal point. I mean, it's a selfish point for myself. But one of the reasons I'm happy to be on your program is that I want to convey what I believe personally to the rest of the world. I think the world can improve their nutrition. I think, for example, AIDS could be nutritionally related. Dr. Luc Montagnier, who got the Nobel Prize for showing the AIDS virus, said that nutrition can help with AIDS.
That's interesting. That is. Well,
we're all exposed. Don't you think every day we're exposed to the AIDS virus? We have to think, why do some people get AIDS and other people don't?
Well, let's take out the, whether it's sexually transmitted or not, I guess. You know, I've always wondered if you're with someone who's has AIDS and they drink from the same glass you drank and you didn't know that, would you get it? You know, that's an interesting question.
Well, let me say something personal here. I'm a surgeon. I do transurethral resections of prostates. I'm a urological surgeon.
Okay.
There's a lot of blood flowing around the operating room. Blood becomes aerosols. It dries.
Good point. You don't
think I'm breathing in blood when I do an operation?
You, your staff, nurses, everybody with you.
Absolutely. You don't think the mask stops that from coming in? It can filter some things, but it can't filter a virus unless you have a special mask, which we don't use. I'm exposed because we're not always allowed in the hospital to test people to see if they have, a positive AIDS test. So we're exposed all the time. Why don't we get AIDS? I think because we have a certain nutritional status that allows our immune system to fight this. And it's the same thing for everybody who's listening into this program. Every day you're exposed to viruses. You're on a plane. You think they clean the filter and the air conditioning? No, they want to save money.
Well, if somebody injected you with the AIDS virus, just gave you a shot, what are the odds of you coming down with it?
Oh, I don't know if anyone's ever done that one.
No,
that's a tough one. That's saying if someone's pointing a gun at you and fires a bullet, can you dodge it?
Exactly.
That's a pretty severe one. I would say that you have a better chance. We did an experiment, or was done by a doctor, Aruoma, Aruoma, in London. I think it was at South Park Hospital in London. And the only close answer to this is that we took the AIDS virus, or he took it with a group of us, and he infected cells with it. And we found that when you took ergothionine, which is made by mushrooms, we could stop 50% of the AIDS virus from duplicating in the cell. And that's the closest ethically that I can tell you that we've done that experiment, and it worked. And we inhibited with ergothionine, which is a substance I said earlier in mushrooms, we inhibited the duplication of the AIDS in the cell by inhibiting enzymes that the virus needed to duplicate. And remember, a virus has no enzyme system. A virus is a gene. It's chromosomes that go into your cell and start duplicating by usurping or stealing your enzymes from your cell. So if you have good nutrition on board, you will stop the virus from duplicating, and you could do that in AIDS too.
All right, I'm going to have you sometime tonight go through an entire program for us to tell us what we should do, what we need to do. And, of course, there's more information on your website, which we've got linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Back for a moment, you said that, sit out in the sun for about 20 minutes a day, increase your vitamin D. Yet we get other doctors, Marvin, who tell us, don't get skin cancer, stay away. What do we believe?
Well, I've always believed what the dermatologists have said until recently. There was a study at Harvard Medical School. You're talking about one of the top medical schools in the United States, and that study showed that vitamin D levels are directly related to the severity of skin cancer. That means that the highest levels of vitamin D led to the lowest incidence of recurrent melanoma, skin cancer.
Okay.
Well, that's just the opposite of what the dermatologists are telling us.
Interesting. Yeah, no, you're right about that.
And so, I think tanning salons might be good. You don't want to stay there forever, but I think we're doing some studies where we think we can develop certain mushroom products that can stop the UV from damaging you, but allow the good stuff like vitamin D production to go on. And in fact, I'm writing a small manual on this that I'd be happy to just, distribute to your listeners if they so desire.
Okay, now the tanning salons, these are the ones where they sit in these beds. I've never done that. There's that the self-spraying stuff, but that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about actually getting the UV rays from these tanning beds.
Well, tanning beds,
right?
Use UV rays. So 20 minutes in a tanning bed will probably give you 10,000 international units of vitamin D, and that's your daily requirement.
Okay.
I'm not saying you should go every day. I think what you want to do is not expose beyond 20 minutes. If you take your shirt off and sit in the sun and you don't wear a hat, you'll get within 20 to 30 minutes 10,000 international units of vitamin D. That's your daily requirement. But most of us don't do that, and especially people at night who are working at night and then they go home and sleep during the day, they're really exposed. Those are the people who have to be really concerned. People who are driving trucks all night long, people who work at jobs with an air traffic controller at night. He goes home and sleeps during the day. He's not getting vitamin D. So these are the people who really can benefit from taking vitamin D.
When I get home later, I'm going to look at my vitamin list at the back. I know how you said vitamin D is really not a vitamin, but is vitamin D in a one of those regular multiple vitamins? Is it even back there? I can't remember.
But it's not. Vitamin D and a multivitamin, they balance it out with calcium, so they're not going to give you enough vitamin D. So the problem is vitamin D and calcium make bone. They're very good together, but the one you're worried about is the high levels of calcium, because vitamin D will use the calcium to make bone. So you want to have a normal level of calcium in the multivitamin, but you need a higher level of vitamin D for your immune system and other functions in the body. And there's now receptors, we think, in prostate cancer that could be directly related to vitamin D levels.
I got a couple of messages from listeners that the vitamin that you were mentioning. A few want to ask, is it also called the Brazil mushroom? Is that the same thing, do you know?
There is a mushroom in Brazil called the Brazil mushroom, but vitamin D is in the Brazil mushroom, but we have not studied that. We think we can make more vitamin D with certain other mushrooms.
Okay, all right. The Chinese have had ancient wisdom for the beginning of time. How did they get so advanced in the beginning? I mean, they were experts on herbs and supplements way beyond other folks and other forms of medicine. Why them?
Well, I think it was a principle of evolution. They were foraging at that time. They used foods as part of their daily beliefs. And if you look back at the ancient literature, they thought food was elevated to a higher status than we do. And I think that they paid more attention to food thousands of years ago. And of course, it's based on a Darwinian principle. You know, you could see who's living longer and who's doing better by what they eat. I mean, how come certain animals avoid certain things in the environment because they find that their friends died? And probably the same thing in China. They were just more observant than we were.
Well, that could be too. Inflammation. We've done a lot of programs on that. We believe turmeric helps to reduce inflammation. I think you would agree that it is probably a cause of heart disease, stroke, and other problems and symptoms, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, I think inflammation is the basic process of most diseases in the body. In fact, we think even chronic depression could be an inflammatory disease. Inflammation is what we were talking about earlier, which is free radicals or oxidative stress. So when you're exposed to pollutants, you're exposed to chemicals, you develop free radicals in your body. And free radicals are what kill cells. And all of us have within our cells hydrogen peroxide, which is a free radical. And so when your cell dies, it releases the hydrogen peroxide. And the whole idea is to protect yourself against that. And we think that heart disease is an inflammatory disorder. Diabetes is an inflammatory disorder. Prostate cancer, an inflammatory disorder. Stroke. I can go on and on and on. Even Alzheimer's disease, as we spoke earlier, is an inflammatory disorder. And so we can change that. All right, we have whole foods that can actually neutralize inflammation. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to be creating a manual on this and explaining this. And if people want to, they can get that manual.
Yeah, I want to see that manual. I think that would be very beneficial for people, Marvin. And you're going to address just about everything we've been talking tonight in depth?
Yes, it's going to be a special report on oxidative stress and inflammation, and I'm going to address what they do not want you to know. I'm going to go into, the dermatologist and skin cancer. I'm going to go into inflammation and bowel disease. I'm going to go into inflammation and diabetes. And this book will be available in the next 4 days, And I can give you an 800 number where they can call and we could send that book to them. May I do that?
Yeah, please.
Anyone listening in can call 800-831-7633. 800-831-7633 and ask for the special report on oxidative stress and inflammation.
Very good. And you say foods, natural foods, will help reduce this?
Absolutely, without hesitation. And we have experimental data that will be shown in the book. We're not going to say things that we don't. I mean, a lot of one of the problems in the nutritional world is that many people are selling products and they're ruining it for the people with science. I mean, they go out and they put this product on the market and they do a Madison Avenue type advertising and everybody says, oh, this is really going to work, but they don't show you any data. I mean, whether they take the guaraná fruit from Brazil or the mangosteen fruit, ask always for the data. Ask, are they extracting it? Are they synthesizing it? Look for chemical, clinical data, and I think you'll learn a lot. And I believe that clinical data with whole foods is going to bring reality back to the use of whole foods.
What do you think of apple cider vinegar, a teaspoon a day?
It has antioxidants. There's no question about it. And what you're saying, apple cider vinegar, that you're not creating a synthetic there. You're actually keeping
natural.
The nutrients together there.
Yeah, it is. It's natural. You know, there's a little lady used to take it every day. I think she's still a little old lady. What's going on?
Well, you know, in certain parts of the world, George, people are living a long time, and we have to see what is in their diet that's helping them. And you are what you eat. There's nothing against that can defy that. You are exactly what you eat.
Have you been following that story of that yogi in India? They've got him locked up now. They're watching him, but he claims that he hasn't eaten or had anything to drink in 70 years. I can't believe.
George, they must have an IV going.
it's bizarre. He's gone under watch, according to these doctors, 2 or 3 weeks now. That's since they've been testing him, based on what he has told them. And he hasn't eaten or hasn't had anything to drink, and he's still functioning fine. Doesn't go to the bathroom, but
people can put themselves in a trance. You know that, and you can lower. I mean, how does animals go to sleep all winter and they hibernate? And there are some people who maybe control with their mind can control their bodily functions, and perhaps he's in a trance and is hibernating. So it's definitely possible. Anything in life is possible, including living to be 120 years of age.
Give us your website verbally. Go ahead.
Our website is there are two. One is Nuflex Online, N-U-F-L-E-X Online, O-N-L-I-N-E.com, NuflexOnline.com. And the other website is MushroomSolutions.com. So both will have information on what I'm talking about. With data, I mean, we're going to talk about how you can improve your nutritional status and avoid the problems of life.
It's easy, isn't it?
Yes, it is. All you have to do, well, we did a study, and this is, I mean, we, you know, that 68% of all women who have gum disease have premature labor. That's a staggering number when you think
about
it.
That's bizarre.
So everybody who's listening in should floss, brush their teeth better. But we wanted to see what is the relationship between anti-inflammatories and these problems. And so we did a study at UC Davis in horses, and we also did it in humans in a general clinical study, and we found that certain foods could actually improve gum disease.
Yes.
And the results were staggering to us.
I remember every time I'd go to my dentist and he knew he was going to do the normal cleaning. He always wanted you to take, he doesn't do this anymore, but he always wanted you to take an antibiotic before the event. How come?
Because you have bacteria in your teeth, in your gums. And so when you mechanically manipulate teeth, drill them or push them around, you're releasing the bacteria into your bloodstream.
They're going on.
And that may be why women have premature labor. When they have bad gum disease, they're actually creating a hormonal environment that triggers the maybe oxytocin, which causes contraction of the uterus and leads to premature labor.
I want to talk about that horse, Barbaro, when we come back. Fascinating story. We'll be back. Okay, next hour we'll take your phone calls with Dr. Marvin Hausman, but we'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM. In 2006, the Kentucky Derby winner was an incredible horse by the name of Barbaro, but he shattered his leg, and then he eventually died. He fought back. You've looked at this situation, Marvin.
Yes, it was a tragedy. He was considered to be a Triple Crown potential. He won the Kentucky Derby by 6.5 lengths, and then he went on to the Preakness, and on May 20th, he fractured his right hind leg. And then they operated on him. And what happened is when you mechanically put pressure on the leg of a horse, so when he shifted his weight to his left side, the added strain brought on laminitis. So the biggest challenge in fracture repair is preserving the good leg.
Mm-hmm.
So they did good surgery, but he died of laminitis, which occurred on the other leg. And I personally think he could have been protected from laminitis by a better nutritional program. And it's hard. You know, the retrospectoscope is 20/20, and it's very easy for me to make comments. I mean, he had great doctors, but I just feel that we've made some progress now in laminitis. And it's very similar to what happens in humans to the foot. The lamina is tissues that connect the horse's foot bone to the horny material of its hoof. And it's similar to what we have in our feet. And the inflammation causes excruciating pain and pressure, and in most serious cases causes the hoof to separate from the bone. And we now know that laminitis is related to insulin resistance, similar to diabetes. So horses do get insulin resistance. And so if we could take mushrooms like Agaricus blasii, we potentially could have stopped the laminitis by increasing insulin sensitivity. And now since that time, there are many, many articles out on laminitis and insulin resistance.
Interesting.
In fact, the same year I went to New Bolton to talk about Barbaro, but they had euthanized him the day before. And one of the reasons is that we had been studying racehorses, and we found that we could increase hemoglobin and red cells in racehorses with nutrition. So we had good evidence that nutrition could have improved the situation with Barbaro.
And it's legal, you know? That's the important thing.
Oh, yeah. You can't. I mean, mushrooms are a food. It's like telling a horse not to eat a carrot.
Exactly.
I mean, seriously, I mean, sometimes the government goes a little too far in regulating foods.
You know, they do. Now, this mushroom that you just mentioned, the Agaricus blasii.
Yes.
How much does it drop one's glucose levels?
Well, glucose is not a good measurement because glucose migrates all over the place. Measuring blood sugar will vary totally in different directions all day long, depending on what you're eating. There are better tests. There's ones that you measure over 30 or 60 or 90 days. So you can measure it on day zero, measure it 2 weeks later, 30 days later, and it gives you a better read. And those are called hemoglobin A1C and a glycomark assay. But those are much better tests. But the basic one, which people measure blood sugar, we find that in general, if you take approximately 1 gram to 2 grams of a mushroom powder combination in a capsule, that we could lower blood sugar by 10 to 20%.
That's huge. That's
yes,
good.
Yes, it is. But it comes, you see it more on your hemoglobin A1C and your glycomark assay. But it's not everybody. I mean, you'll see it in some people. But in general, what you do see is that people who have diabetes are tired. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they've lost their energy. And one of the reasons is they can't metabolize sugar like we do, who don't have diabetes. And so they get really down and out around 4 o'clock. And even if you don't control their blood sugar, most of the people in a study say that they have increased energy at 4 p.m. And the reason they have increased energy is that you have better use of the insulin that you have, and you're metabolizing the blood sugar better. So you know there are factories inside the cell, and if you burn your blood sugar, you're going to have more energy.
The diabetes epidemic, as you've called it, and we are into that right now. How would you put that on the list of trouble spots for people right now? Way up on the list?
Way up there. I think we're controlling, people may disagree with me, but I think when we look on a epidemiologic basis, I think we're controlling cancer and heart disease better than we're controlling diabetes. And I think that's why we need, that's why the government has announced a war on diabetes or metabolic syndrome. And they're saying even in school children, we got to stop use of the artificial sweeteners, the sugars, the high fructose sugars in Cokes, diet Cokes. And I don't mean to pick on Coca-Cola, even 7-Up, because it's leading to diabetes. And you know, one out of every four Americans will have or has diabetes. That's staggering.
Well, it sure is. Now, you know, what about these hallucinogenic mushrooms? Are they any good for you?
Yes, they are. I mean, despite what everybody's been telling us, hallucinogenic mushrooms are being used in depression now and obsessive compulsive disorders, which cause depression. And we're finding out that they have value there.
Okay, let's go. Give us, if you could, an overview of a program that you would recommend to people. And, of course, your phone number for the manual is 800-831-7633, but give us an overview.
What I would recommend is you have to look at what foods will make other foods bioavailable. And I think you have to use whole foods. I will be able to show you proof that I'm correct in about 6 weeks. And I will show you hardcore evidence using whole foods that can stop disease. And I'm going on record to say that we will have that in 6 to 8 weeks, because I know some of the preliminary data, but I'm not at liberty to announce it tonight because we want to really have the data totally finished in the experiment. But I would recommend, for example, if you were to take the mushroom powder that we produced, there's one called Immusano, there's one called Glucosano. We now have an anti-arthritis one called Nuflex, N-U-F-L-E-X, and it's at nuflexonline.com. You will find that those are composed of whole biologic components. We don't do anything to a mushroom except take the water out. Mushrooms are 90% water. It's the only biologic food that allows total removal of water without destroying any of the components. You end up with the same thing you started with, but without water. And we put those into rare combinations. You take those mushrooms and you add other components that you need, like coenzyme Q10 is very good for heart muscle. Omega-3, as you probably have talked about before, sure, comes from, you know, fish, from salmon and other fish, and is very healthy. Well, these are products that are extracted from the fish. Coenzyme Q10 is extracted or synthesized, but there's no transport system with it unless you eat the fish, what I talked about before. Well, the mushroom you're taking, because it lends itself to removing the water, is a whole biologic. So you take these other nutrients with the mushroom powder, and the mushroom powder with its enzyme structure is going to make the other nutrients bioavailable. So if you want to take vitamin D complex and say you have a vitamin B, your levels are low, you should take vitamin B with mushroom powder, because then the mushroom powder has transport molecules that will make the vitamin D more bioavailable. And it goes on and on and on. But it's the unusual combination, and it's a synergy between all of these foods and the components in nature that will make them more useful in terms of your longevity.
Well, and how did you get interested in the mushroom end of this, Marvin?
Well, it came from Alzheimer's disease. As I mentioned earlier, I was investigating, and I went on a mission for the last 15 years to cure Alzheimer's disease. And I started doing work with antioxidant experts at Harvard Medical School and other institutions in the United States. And we found these antioxidants. Some of them are in wine, by the way. Pinot Noir grapes, we studied that, have very high levels of antioxidants. And then we came to mushrooms, because we found this very heat-stable antioxidant called ergothionine. And the Germans, about 4 years ago in Cologne, University of Cologne, discovered a taxi cab, a transporter that's sitting in your red cell, your white cell, and even in sperm cells. And that transporter, for the energy of the cell and the antioxidant capacity of the cell, is looking for ergothionine. Only ergo can fit into that taxi cab. And then we decided, where is ergo? And we found that it's in mushrooms. And it's also in certain red grapes, like Pinot Noir grapes. We found that that the Pinot Noir grape from the Willamette Valley, for example, has a higher level of ergo than the Cabernet grape from Sonoma. So you have to understand these things, and that's what I would like to convey to the world, that foods may be the answer to many of the diseases we have.
What about people's pets? I mean, people care about their animals.
Same principle. The pet is a mammal. The same principle that we talked about in humans. Cats have diabetes. Dogs have eyesight problems, have inflammatory components in their body similar to humans. They get cancer. We did a study in horses where they have sarcoid tumor. That's a viral tumor. And we found that certain combinations of mushrooms could remove the sarcoid, not remove it physically, but can actually make it disappear because we were killing the virus. And the same thing in dogs. I mean, dogs have inflammatory gum disease. Cats have inflammatory gum disease, and you can actually alleviate that. And we did a study in dogs and in horses at UC Davis where we actually cured the gum disease with mushrooms.
There's a guy working at a restaurant here in the heart of St. Louis. He's been there for 40, 50 years. He's 83 years old, Marvin, and he doesn't want to quit work. He told me last week, he said, if I quit, I know I'm going to die, so I just keep working and I feel great. Now, let's assume that he also took the proper supplements and nutritional foods and things like that. If he keeps active by working, maybe doing a little treadmill, how long do you think he can go?
I said earlier, I think life can be extended beyond what the normality is today if we take care of ourselves. He possibly could go, and based on the Hayflick model, he could go out to be 120. I think the maximum lifespan of a cell before it totally gives away would be 120, theoretically, on a computer model. So you could go to 100. I mean, there's no reason why people today can't live to be 100 with good bodily functions. Look, George Burns was smoking a cigar on his 100th birthday.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob Hope lasted a long time.
Yeah, they take care of themselves. You think about it. You look at people. If I had two people with pneumonia, and they came into my office, and I gave them, they had the same exact bacteria for the pneumonia, and I gave them equal amounts of penicillin, same units of penicillin. It's logical that the person with better nutrition is going to have a better immune system and is going to respond to the injection. And it's
absolutely
the same thing about all diseases.
Why does it seem that when a person stops working or retires, they turn to mush, maybe they die sooner? Why is that?
Because your system requires a certain amount of activity every day. You know, they even say if you sleep more than 8 hours, it's negative. You have to sleep 6 to 7 to 8 hours, not more. Those people who stay all day long, you have to wake up your metabolism. You have to wake up your brain function, and then you're going to live longer. And, you know, there's a principle in medicine that when you use the same nerve endings every day, that your nerves will lose its function. So you want to do things that are different every day. So having the same job may not be perfect, but but you're working, you're thinking, and you should do different things. If you always do the same thing every day, you want to use different nerve fibers. So you want to think and do different things every day.
Well, and I'm beginning to think that the brain and keeping it active may have a lot to do with this.
Yeah, that's so obvious. I mean, you know that when you do a crossword puzzle, they did studies in, I think, a UCLA medical center where they took people and they did PET scans on them. And when they were doing crossword puzzles, the PET scan showed a higher level of glycogen metabolism and sugar metabolism in the brain cells. So they were waking up their brain cells. And you need to do that. I think to stop living is going to be quick deterioration. When I say stop living, I mean stop working.
Yeah, and being active. Do you think children are being given too many things with sugar in them?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. Did you ever notice that things on the same level of the shelf go quickest in the refrigerator? People never bend down to see what's on the lower shelf. They only look straight ahead.
Right.
And what's ever there, they take out and use. Men are worse than women. That I don't bend down. My wife says I don't bend down to look to see what this is. Good food on the bottom shelf. I take whatever in front of me there, and that's the same thing on every day. Isn't it easier to go to McDonald's and have lunch rather than make a sandwich early in the morning? Get up a half an hour early and make a vegetarian sandwich with good nutrition.
I have sworn off all fast foods now. I don't do it.
Well, you're very smart. I mean, a fast food. Just by the word fast food means where does the fast food come from? It comes from something that they want to make money on, and they're not going to have the best nutritional components in them.
It tastes good, but I'm not doing it anymore.
Well, of course it tastes good. They want you to like it.
Why do things that taste good, how come they're sometimes not the best thing for us?
Well, because you have, we're going into another area. You have something in your brain called serotonin. And it's a serotonin response. That means it's a pleasure response. Sex is a pleasure response. Eating is a pleasure response. And so what you do is you trigger that. Laughing is a pleasure response. And so you trigger the serotonin response. And so we put foods in that trigger serotonin responses.
They know this through research, don't they?
Yes, very obviously.
It's a science. Everything's a science, Marvin.
Well, science of making money.
Well, but you know, there's one thing of making money the right way and making it the improper way. You know, I don't see anything wrong with, you know, with people, you know, making a good living, helping other people. But, you know, when it's the opposite, then, you know, I got a problem with that.
No, there's no question. I mean, I'm not implying that making money is bad. What I was implying is that a lot of things are developed because of the commercial value, not because of the health value. I, as an MD, have taken an oath that I have to help my fellow man. Why I'm doing this, I said it was selfish because I want to live to be 120. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think I'd like to leave a legacy because I came into this world only with my name. I'm going to go out with my name. I can't take anything with me. But if I could leave something, if I could leave some component of life that adds to someone's life, haven't I done more for the world than any other one?
Well, and don't end up like that Twilight Zone movie, right, where Burgess Meredith ended up or somebody broke his watch and everybody stopped and stood still. If you're going to live to 120, don't you want to take other people with you? I think you do.
Absolutely. I'll take you with me, George.
I'm on my way. I'll be broadcasting until I'm 120. How about
that? I'd like to celebrate that and be on your show.
Can you guarantee that my voice will stay about the same?
That I never tested that one. I haven't done any studies there, but probably it'll stay good. You have a good voice, George.
Yeah, but at 120, I might come back on and go, welcome to Coast to Coast. I'm not sure the network would want me to do that by that time. Marvin, of all the things we've talked about today, do you see the vitamin D deficiency? I'll call it the vitamin D because that's what I've been taught. The vitamin D deficiency as one of the biggest problems going on right now?
Yes, I can give you a specific example. My vitamin D, I was very concerned about vitamin D when I found out about 6 months ago. So I measured my vitamin D. Normal levels are 50. My vitamin D came back at 14. Now, I take care of myself. I eat well. I'm in the sun. And then I came across an article where people with vitamin D deficiency who are over the age of 60, which I am, have a 2.5 times incidence of cardiac arrest and death. So I got really nervous about it. So I said, I'm going to increase my vitamin D. So I decided I'm not going to treat myself. I'm going to go to an expert who's a nutritional expert. So I went on high doses of vitamin D. I finally got it up to 34. And then I started taking my mushrooms with high levels of vitamin D. And I got it back up to 50.
Super.
I also was studying the incidence of vitamin D in different diseases.
Yeah, hold on for a sec, Marvin. We're at the top of the hour. I want to come back and talk more about that vitamin D deficiency and how you pumped it up. And we're going to take an hour of phone calls with you on Coast to Coast AM.